This is Taking Action Today with Michael Alder, episode 24. We're going to build a bigger private label business. What's up, everybody? I got my buddy Will on the line today. He's going to share with us how he did over $6 million in private label products using platforms like Amazon, eBay, and his own e-commerce sites. And we're going to figure out exactly how he did this so we could take action ourselves. So let's get right into this. Will, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Now, you did over $6 million in sales last year using Amazon's platform, and I want to get all into that. But before we touch base on that, will you take us back and tell us how you first started selling on Amazon?
I started selling on Amazon because my brother actually started selling on Amazon. My brother is 6 years older than me, and he started selling on Amazon, well, not specifically Amazon, but more eBay, around 2002, 2003, as he was like a freshman in college. And he was at the time importing from Alibaba way back when. And I kind of had, at the time, I'm only 12, and I'm seeing people, someone who I look up to, importing and selling online and being pretty successful at it. And so it's something I've always kind of had in my mind. But me personally, I didn't start selling on eBay and Amazon and all that different e-commerce channels until I was about 19 in college.
Okay. And then, so if you don't mind, please share with us your first action step, how you got started on it.
My very first action step, it's really weird because one day I just woke up and I go, wow, I just really need to go through with this. And what I'm referring to is my first private label product when I was in college. I had been like selling textbooks and kind of reselling stuff and doing a little arbitrage here and there. But just one day I woke up and I just thought, wow, I just really need to start doing this because whenever something starts going well or kind of successful in my life, you always have the kind of thought of, wow, what if I would have started this 2 years earlier? Where would I be now? Kind of thing.
Right.
And it's, I had that kind of thought where it's like, I don't want to be sitting here 2 years from now being like, why didn't I start private labeling then? I knew how to do it. What was I waiting for? And so, yeah, just one day I just woke up and I just knew I had to take action.
Do you mind sharing with us how you picked your first product when you jumped in?
I got lucky that it actually was a successful product, but I was actually, my very first product was a marijuana vaporizer.
Okay.
And it was because they was in this gray area on Amazon where like they didn't want you to put it on there, but as long as you didn't say anything explicitly about like marijuana, they were fine with it. And like, they didn't take down my listing. They never warned me or anything, but I knew there was something up because there was not really any other sellers on Amazon. And so I was making a killing off of them. I think I was buying them for something around like a two pack for $12, and they were selling for about $60 a piece.
Oh my goodness.
And so, yeah, it was. And then if you went to like a mom and pop shop or like a head shop, they're going for like $99 a piece.
Wow.
And so it was, it was super, super easy. But at the same time, I kind of kept it small because I was just paranoid. And so I kept doing these kind of small little orders of maybe like 40 units at a time. And I wasn't really kind of, I could have really cut down my margins. I could have really maybe made something big if I would have really pulled the trigger back then. But at the time, I didn't have a ton of cash and I was still in college, and just making money in general online was cool enough for me.
No, I hear you. Well, what happened with that then? The reason for not expanding, did Amazon shut you down? Was there a law change on that or something?
No, it just got to a point where I was doing well with it. And then I graduated college. And when I graduated college, my brother contacted me and said, hey, you sell online. I've been selling online. My family owns a manufacturing company that had extra like pole barns and warehouse space. And so we had the space, and he's saying, he had the capital from sitting there selling online for almost a decade at that point. And he was saying, let's do this full time as a team and really see where we can take it.
Yeah, it's amazing. So how many, I don't know if you told us, how many years ago was that when your brother contacted you and you teamed up?
That was like about 3 years ago now.
Okay.
Like about this time of year, I think I was graduating.
All right. So roughly 3 years ago, you team up with your brother. He has the capital to get this thing going. Your family has the space. What do we decide on products at this point? Do you just start throwing money at every direction, or do you have some rhyme and reason in it?
Well, my family's company is in like the HVAC industry. They manufacture like kind of specialty equipment for like dryer vents and stuff.
Okay.
Really kind of boring stuff. And, but since we grew up in the HVAC industry, we kind of targeted that because if you look, it's that industry and a few other industries I've kind of seen are like very, very old school. And they are, all the manufacturers are super against like B2C, like going straight from the business to the consumer, and they're all B2B. And so the what happens is the manufacturer sells to maybe a distributor who sells to a wholesaler, who sells to a contractor, who sells to the end client. And every single person along the chain is increasing the price, maybe 25, 50%. And so us going not even to the manufacturers, but then going to China and buying it straight from them, we got it from even a deeper price cut. And then from there, it was, yeah, the easiest thing ever because no one was private labeling dryer hood vents or 36-inch shutter fans or anything like that.
Nice. So you were going in, you know, following the family's HVAC business, and then you just used Amazon's platform, or do you have a different website that you're selling these off of?
Just using Amazon and eBay. And then as we've grown, we've kind of started accumulating e-commerce sites for our different private label brands to kind of add legitimacy. Say if someone Googles a brand, an actual website shows up with a legit like email and all that kind of stuff. And it adds a little comfort to the buyer.
All right. And then speaking of that, then you have a handful of sites. Is it just you and your brother still overseeing all this, or do you have a team in place?
The last 6 months or so, we got a secretary. It's hard to call her a secretary because she does so much more than that. But she sits there and she kind of just makes sure that all of the customer service emails get answered. She answers the phone. She deals with like monitoring reviews, all the little day-to-day stuff that I just don't want to deal with. She'll deal with stuff like, say someone in South Korea wants to order one of our products. She'll deal with like getting it back from Amazon and then sending it out to South Korea and filling out the forms. Just like the stuff that would maybe take up 45 minutes out of my day that I don't have.
All right. And, yeah, it's great.
And then besides that, we've been kind of shuffling in different temporary workers for like a box stacking position. And I think we have found the guy for the job. And so that's very exciting that my brother and I aren't going to be unloading containers anymore.
That's awesome. And it's crazy that you're doing this much volume. And it, I mean, it sounds like a nothing team in place. I mean, your margins got to be great on this, no?
I wouldn't say great. It's like 20% after everything because we do about half private label and about half wholesale.
Okay.
And it's about 20% margin, but then our average ticket price for a product is around $125 to $150. And so it makes it a lot easier when you're making $30 a unit to sell only ones and twos here and there than trying to sell maybe 100 iPhone cases a day.
Okay, yep. And then do you mind sharing with us some of the different private label brands you've created then?
Yeah, we got one called like that we're about to get rid of called like that's like a knee scooter brand. And so we like for when people injure their legs.
Okay.
And they kind of scoot around. I don't know if you've seen those. So we have a private label brand of that. We have a private label brand of like 3D filament. And they're like usafilament.com. They're just all these kind of just silly private label brands here and there. They're none of them we take too seriously, and none of them are like huge winners, but collectively they do a pretty decent job.
And then when you said you were going to get rid of one, are you just going to close it up, or do you actually have a buyer to take over the company?
I've thought about selling it, but it's like the knee scooter. Mm-hmm. So something that I didn't anticipate when I started sourcing that is how agitated all the customers would be.
All
right. Because they're just getting done with like surgery.
Right.
And so if something comes and it's missing a part for some reason, or if say the shipment's a day late or something like that, I'll tell you a few knee scooter emails that I've gotten that great. Are just so so we had a woman email us 2 weeks ago saying, "Hey, I can't get my knee scooter in my trunk. Do you guys sell ramps?" And so it's like, no, we don't sell Rams.
There's the new product, though. Bring it in.
What kind of car do you have? Do you have a truck? Do you have a Mini Cooper? Like, you can't... Like,
right, just right. Yep, you have to custom fit the car.
Also, we had a woman email us, just like, this is just so sad to hear, where she goes, hey, yeah, I got the knee scooter. It's not working so well, and I need to return the seat because it's not comfortable. And I can't return the seat because I can't use a knee scooter because my leg's broken.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's like the double whammy of, yeah, she's just sitting there trapped in her house and she can't move around. And it's because, yeah, she doesn't have the proper seat. And so it's like, well, don't mail the seat back. Don't worry about it. Like, we'll mail you out one right now. Like, it's like, if you feel so bad for all these people that you have to deal with these customers, because every time they're just so hopeless because without the knee scooter, they can't move.
Right. And I appreciate you sharing these stories with us, because, I mean, you know, you hear a lot of the hype that's going on right now, all the money that's being made in these massive sales. But, you know, you're touching base on the other side of it. There is customer service needed. Your products may not fly. And these are, you know, some of the details that you have to cover in your private label business.
Well, exactly. It's the kind of thing where I would say the knee scooters are making us maybe profit $4,000 a month total.
Okay.
And so I have 1,700 SKUs. And so, like, if I made $4,000 a month per product, I'm doing pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing like 10 figures. I mean, 8 figures. But it's the kind of thing where we're spending too much time dealing with customer service. People return them. Some of them come damaged in the container. And it's the kind of thing where we're spending more time on that than another 300 products combined.
Okay.
And so it's the kind of thing where it's just taking up too much time. And even more importantly, it's taking up capital, because once you get to a level we're at, without sounding cocky or anything, but it all comes down to cash flow.
Right. So yeah, and eliminate the headaches and expand on what's working.
Exactly. I would rather find a new product that it sells better than these scooters, takes no customer service, and moves a lot faster than deal with knee scooters again. And when you only have so much capital, you kind of hit a limit where you can't keep buying and buying and buying and just growing through pure cash flow.
And that's something, if you don't mind touching base on it, you know, on the show here, we talk a lot about raising capital for your investments. We do a lot of real estate talk over here. So capital is always needed. And if you're doing over $6 million in sales, I mean, you got to have $1.5 million in liquid cash, I would think, to keep this flowing. You know, correct me wherever I'm at on the numbers here, but can you share with the listeners some ways to raise capital to get started in this?
That is not my expertise. No. I have a rich older brother.
Perfect. So everybody just has to get a rich older brother. You're good to go.
Exactly. You know, but right now we have, if I had to guess, we have about $1 million in stock at Amazon right now. We're super overstocked right now.
Okay.
We have maybe, I don't know, $500,000 in the bank account, maybe a little bit less. And then our inventory at Amazon is probably $1 million our price, and like $1.7 million or $2 million sold.
Okay.
Kind of thing. And then with the $2 million sold and then 20% taken from with Amazon fees.
All right.
So it's, it definitely turns into a cash flow thing. But back to the knee scooters. This is why cash is so crucial, because the knee scooters, we bought a 20-foot container that was 210 units. And we sold, I think we threw them on eBay, we threw them on our e-commerce site, we threw them on Amazon, and we sold in the first couple of days, I think we sold like 10.
Okay.
And so then we were doing the math and we're thinking, wow, even though we've only sold maybe 15% of our inventory, since the knee scooters have a 60 to 90 day lead time, we have to order a whole nother container, even though we've only sold maybe 20% of this first container.
I gotcha.
And if you didn't have the cash, you would have been screwed.
Right.
And so since we had the cash, we can kind of just float that and just kind of know that everything's going to be okay. But at the same time, it's really nice to be able to do that kind of thing.
And then let's get into that then. I mean, you know, so there is times where cash flow might be getting tight, let's say. Can you share with us a little bit of your marketing techniques to get your products moved faster to free up that cash flow?
Well, whenever cash flow is tight for us, for the most part, it's because we just placed a huge order.
Okay.
And so it's like we have one of our suppliers where they had a minimum order quantity at one point of $500,000. And so it's like, yeah, cash is a little tight right after we did that, but we don't have to order that product for another maybe 14 months.
Okay. So you're set for over a year.
Yeah, exactly. So it's the kind of thing where it's like, yeah, cash was tight for a little bit, but when you don't have to restock, then cash is not really necessary. But we use the Amazon sponsored ads.
Okay.
Since we're in an old school niche and we're one of the first to market, just in most of the niches we get into, we're also the first to on Amazon ads. So there's no competition. So the bids we're placing are just unbelievable. There's certain products where I've spent maybe $7 in ads and done $7,000 in sales.
Wow.
Like, it's no joke, because I'm paying 11 cents per click.
And that's just through Amazon's pay-per-click system.
Yeah. And, well, because it'll be a $500 product and I'm paying 11 cents per click.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So my conversion rate's not even that great, but still, since it's a kind of an untapped niche, and like, say someone else isn't trying to sell a $500 air conditioning unit on Amazon, I have no competition besides myself.
Okay.
But besides that, I've tried a little bit of marketing here through like Reddit or through like social media, but that's not my strong point. Since we have, like I said, like 1700 SKUs, I don't have enough time in the day to sit there and try to market every single one of them and like do this big launch every time we come out with a new product. And so instead we kind of just do these, the way we kind of make it so we don't take as much risk when we do these orders of containers is that we'll find a great supplier who has maybe 20 products we're interested in. And so then we'll get 20 of each of those 20 products and fill up a container with that and kind of mitigate our risks a little bit. And then we'll see which ones sell, which ones don't. And the next time we order, we can kind of get a better combination of the top selling products.
No, that was awesome what you just brought up there. Let's go ahead and dive into that. You bring in 20 units of 20 different products from one supplier. You order it, it comes right to your warehouse. Walk us through each step, if you don't mind, so the listeners can get an idea of how to get involved with this.
You want to know how, like, step by step from unloading the container to Amazon picking it up?
Right, to Amazon FBA at that point. Yeah.
All right, so we'll get a container in and we'll open it up. It's going to be filled to the brim. You either get a 20-foot container, 40-foot container, or a 40-foot HQ container, which I think is like a foot and a half taller or something like that. But usually we'll get either a 20 or 40-foot container. But I'm going to go back to the knee scooter just so people can get a visual. But so we get a 20-foot container in. We unload the products. I will have the supplier print the Amazon barcode on the outside of the packaging, so I don't have to mess with that. And then I will unload them straight onto pallets, four-way pallets. So one step right there. And as you unload them onto the pallet, you also grab the FBA label that you need for your shipment and slap it on the box. So it's all one continuous flow. And so you do that and say it was, I think the knee scooters, it was like something like 12 fit per pallet. So once you get the 12 on a pallet, my brother would pull the pallet away and take it to the wrapping machine and wrap it up. And I would go and unload another pallet worth of knee scooters. And by the time I'm doing that, my brother's ready to take another pallet from me. And it's just like a continuous flow.
Nice. You got your systems in place for it.
Exactly. And then from there, once all the pallets are wrapped and weighed, you just go and enter it into Amazon. And you already know exactly how many knee scooters you sent in because it's how many you ordered. And so you type in, I got 100 pink, 100 black, 100 white. It's 22 pallets. They weigh exactly pretty much like 450 pounds each. And you hit accept. And then Amazon says, okay, it's going to cost, say, $1,000. And we'll send you the bill of lading in 48 hours. And so in the next 48 hours, they'll email us with that. We'll put it in the sleeve of the very first pallet. And the trucking company will come up and pick the pallets up from us. And so this is where we have a huge benefit that my family has a loading dock in a factory. You can do it without a warehouse and a loading dock and pay, like, for us, it's like a $50 charge if you need them to come bring like a lift gate out to bring the pallet into the truck. But it's a lot easier if you just have a loading dock.
Nice. Now, one other step I was curious of. Now, they ship everything over to you. Are you personally doing the pictures and the descriptions, or are you having your manufacturer set that up for you?
I do that, but usually I have that set up ahead of time with the sample.
Okay. So you put everything in the system with the sample, and then it's showtime once the product comes in.
Exactly. You, since you got that huge lead time, you got plenty of time to get the listing up. You may not, you won't make it live yet, but you put the listing up, write it, put and take nice pictures and get everything ready to go. So when, once the container gets to us, it's usually wrapped up and done within maybe a 1-8 hour shift.
Oh, that's great. So I got to ask you this then. I mean, this is a hot topic right now. A lot of people are making a lot of money doing this. Do you see like an Amazon balloon coming up where this is going to bust and everything's going to crumble?
To a point.
Okay.
I think that Amazon, the amount of the stats it keeps seeing of, I saw some stat the other day where it was like by 2018, they're predicting 100 million Prime members. And so I think right now they're estimating there's around 30. And so if you kind of maybe triple the amount of buyers out there, that's going to keep the bubble away for a while. But I think there's going to be more of a bubble in these super saturated niches that everyone goes after. The like workout bands, the kitchen accessories, the pet accessories, the meat claws, the whatever, the silicone gloves, the all those kind of things. I think there's going to be so saturated. And then it's going to be more about products that kind of I sell that are like, say, $125 to $150 a unit, because there's a much higher like barrier to entry, because you got to have at least $50,000 to place an order. And so I think that the people who are not as successful and kind of just doing it part-time are going to slowly kind of weed themselves out over time, because they're not going to have the capital and the cash flow to actually play with the big dogs.
Right on.
And so that's where I kind of see it going, is that, yeah, people are going to keep getting richer and richer, but it's the rich get richer. And so if I want to get into, say, if I wanted to get into meat claws, I could go and make 10 cents a unit and be fine and put everyone out of business, because I can buy $100,000 worth of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of like, I don't care about that, but it's all those little small niches that people always kind of go after in the beginning. They're just waiting for one big company to come and just wipe them all
out. Wipe them out. All right.
And so, and then that's where it comes down to like branding and marketing and all that stuff. But that's a lot easier to do on your own e-commerce site and your own kind of platforms than it is on Amazon, because they don't give you that many opportunities to kind of make your listing shine.
And that's what I was going to ask you there. Is that what you're doing, just to leverage as a little bit of protection on that, building a couple other sites on the side and using other platforms?
Exactly. Because I sell on Amazon and sell to Amazon. We were selling enough and Amazon contacted us and said, hey, do you want to set up a vendor account and sell straight to us? And so I know that Amazon is going from the top seller list down and contacting them one by one, trying to see if they can become a vendor and just sell and fulfill the product themselves.
Okay.
And so if they're doing that to us, they're going to slowly make their way down the list and do it to everyone until Amazon maybe 5-10 years from now is selling every product themselves. And so it's a genius strategy, is because they make it so easy for sellers to sell on Amazon. And so they get as many products they possibly can on Amazon. They don't have to pay for the inventory. They still make their 20% margin. And then on top of that, they see what's the top sellers and what's not. And then they start from the top of that list and contact those brands and start carrying them too. And so we're just all guinea pigs for Amazon. Maybe 5-10 years from now, we're going to be very thankful that we have these 5- and 10-year-old e-commerce sites that are pretty successful.
Yeah, I'm glad you covered all that too. Because I mean, I've been through, you know, the real estate bust. I've been through, you know, September 11th when things crashed. So I've seen these things pop, and this is a hot thing right now. So yeah, I appreciate you sharing these other strategies to protect yourself in the long run on this business. For all the listeners out there, would you mind sharing with us some quick action steps if they want to get in the game? What do you suggest they do?
I would suggest them to just keep their eyes open. Keep your eyes open when you're walking around stores. An easy example is an iPhone case. It's a little chunk of rubber. Some iPhone cases are $49.99 in a store, and you can buy a car tire for less than that. And a car tire has way more rubber and went through way more excruciating testing to make sure that it's legit. And so just keep your eyes open for products that are way too expensive for no reason. It's a chunk of rubber and it costs $50. That doesn't make sense. That would be a great product to source. And next quick action step would be do a small order on AliExpress. Even if you might just break even because the shipping might be kind of expensive, test the market, get your minimal viable product out there, see if the product sells, And then you'll be able to move forward a lot quicker than sitting around for 2 months wondering if you should do a big shipment on Alibaba.
Good call. And then, so if it works out on AliExpress, that's when you switch it up to Alibaba, you go big and then continue to grow.
Exactly. Then you know you hit, you're onto something, and then you can really think about building out a nice brand and building out a website and getting a logo made and all that kind of stuff.
Man, this has been great. You've been very generous with your time and knowledge. I appreciate all of this. Where can the listeners connect with you?
They can follow me on Twitter at WTJERN. I got a blog that I should update more, but I don't, FBAExpert.com. And that's about it. Yeah.
No, that's great.
They can also email me, just my name, WilliamChurnlin@gmail.com, if they got any questions or they want to share any tips with me.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm going to link to all that in the show notes.
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me. This has been a great time.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening in today. For more tips on real estate investing and creating streams of passive income, stop by michaelalder.com or connect with me on Twitter at michaelalder34, or you can find me on Facebook. All right, everybody. Thanks, and let's take action today.